2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Go to the website, use the promo code podcast to get 20% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get 24/7 access to our VIP Slack chat channel, access to the Domination Station as well, which you can use for NFL, NBA, NASCAR, PGA, all sorts of events. And, of course, VIP articles and other tools that you won't get anywhere else. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast. This is Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall over there as well on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. Nice little five-gamer here today. Should be able to get this pod done in under an hour, which, you know, always good for the people. Yeah,
let's shoot for like 25 seconds.
Wow.
Oh, wait, we're already past that. Okay, I do have a little rant because, you know, with me being enthralled in the basketball world, I haven't really followed with the baseball stuff.
Sure.
First off, my condolences to the Roy Halladay Foundation and family and all the fans out there. Baseball lost a lost a good guy. This was a guy that was a fierce competitor and never really, I think, got the due that he probably deserved and gone way too soon. So mm-hmm. There's that. And I know he kind of touched your heart a little bit harder or closer than mine. I just got to watch him as a fan. You got to actually watch him personally as a fan. So,
yeah, one of the best moments as a Philly fan. Actually, his first year in Philly, ended up throwing a no-hitter, I believe, against Miami. And then later on in the postseason, ended up throwing that no-hitter against the Reds, which was kind of crazy, where the final out, where the bat was kind of just laying right in front of home plate, and Chooch had to get that ball and throw him out. But, yeah, certainly a really just sad piece of news. And it's always, you know, when people die, it's always funny how, you know, they never talk about the bad about a person, you know. And sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, come on, we know the bad about this person. But everything about Roy Halladay, just genuine, really nice. I was actually listening to a radio show yesterday in New York, the Michael Kay show. So they had a couple people call in who have actually had, you know, personal stories with Roy Halladay. And one of them was pretty funny, where this lady was at a hotel and, you know, she thought that he was Matt Halladay. But, you know, Roy Halladay just kept going on with it. Like, you know, like he could have easily been like, no, I'm Roy Halladay. You know, you're wrong about that. But, you know, that was just one of the many stories that were told yesterday about him. But, yeah, you know, 40 is certainly way too soon for somebody to go. But recently he had been, you know, like flying was a huge part of his life, and that was something that he was doing. So, you know, obviously, you know, never want to go that early, but he was doing something that he loved when he passed. So I guess there is some sort of solace in that, but, you know, again, Halladay, future Hall of Famer for sure. Won the Cy Young in both leagues, the AL, the NL. So, you know, just very sad, but, you know, he will get his proper respect in Cooperstown for sure.
Yeah, he definitely was a – he was – him and Chris Carpenter were some of the biggest competitors that I've watched, you know, in the early 2000s. Definitely paved the way for guys – him and Cliff Lee made that rotation just – and Cole Hamels. Mm-hmm. Made that rotation just, you know, it was the modern day Dodgers type of rotation, just absolutely, or Astros, whichever one you want to throw out there.
Right.
He was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, you literally go out and he was Max Scherzer before Max Scherzer. He was, you know, a dominant right-handed bat that relied on one guy, on basically one pitch. Him and Jake Peavy were Probably some of the harder right-handers to hit in the early 2000s. So the second thing I wanted to talk about, and I know we're getting on a baseball tangent here, but did you happen to see who the nominees for the National League MVP were?
I did not.
They are one.
I can imagine.
Giancarlo Stanton. Okay, let me ask you this: who do you think they are? I just gave you one.
All right, so Stanton, Arenado, and I'm gonna go. They always do three, right?
Yep.
Who in the National League? I got. Maybe Paul Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt, Stanton, and Joey Votto.
Really?
Okay, so here's the issue.
Interesting.
Okay. And you know, me being a Rockies fan, it's kind of one of those things that I get into an argument a lot. I get into arguments with Twitter. We get in arguments about it, but there's arguments for it. Nolan Arenado and Charlie Blackmon just had probably two of the best offensive seasons in MLB that you could even possibly imagine. Now, I'm one to say that Nolan has been Jude out of the NL MVP the last 2 years. The reason why? Coors Field was thrown in there. And the reason why was because they said that he was on a losing team. So now this year, he is on a winning team. And because of the fact that Charlie Blackmon had a good season and Nolan had a good season, you're now penalizing both of them? How does one of them not get into the top three? And how does Joey Votto, who is on one of the worst teams in baseball, get into the top three? Now, I am not taking anything away from anything that these three guys did. But if you're going to penalize a hitter for being in Coors Field, you have to give credit to the pitchers pitching in Coors Field. This is an argument that we've talked about quite frequently. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're telling me that Kyle Freeland and Germán Márquez were not eligible for Rookie of the Year or were not good enough to be thrown in the Rookie of the Year conversation because of this?
Interesting.
Because they're pitchers in Coors Field and they have elevated ERAs? I mean, please, guys. Nolan Arenado is the best third baseman in baseball all around. There is no question about it. This is not me speaking homer. This is me going by the numbers. He is the 5-time reigning NL Gold Glove champion.
And let me cut it in. I feel like the defense alone should have him nominated.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you would have thought. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he not only changes the game on the offensive end, but he changes it on the defensive end. Paul Goldschmidt is a very, very good player that had a down season. Giancarlo Stanton, a down season for him. For him.
Uh-huh.
Not overall. He still had a very good season. He just had a down season for him, where his numbers usually were. Okay. Giancarlo Stanton, very, very, very good player. Probably by far the premier home run hitter in the game today. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
No.
The only reason I say him over Aaron Judge as far as that, because Judge needs to show me that he can do it again next year. Before that. So you're sitting here looking at this and going, okay, Nolan the last 3 years, what he's done, nobody in the NL has even, like, he leads the NL in RBIs over the last 3 seasons since he started going on this tear. He is, I think, second or third in home runs. His batting average has come up every single year. His on-base percentage has gone up. His strikeouts have gone down, and his walks have gone up. The guy just continues to keep getting better 5 years into his career. And guess what? His defense is even better now than I think it was his rookie season.
Yeah, okay? For sure. Yeah, you know, it's crazy, right? Because you look at, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton with the homers obviously gets it. Joey Votto had an unbelievable season at the plate, which I think really gets kind of overlooked just because he played for the Reds. But, I mean, in terms of getting on base and in terms of the few amount of strikeouts that he had and just overall at the plate, it was one of the better years out there in a while at the plate. In this era where everybody's striking out, kind of like the Tony Gwynn numbers almost. But then you look at that last spot, I figured that's how Goldschmidt got in there. But I don't know. I mean, not saying that it's right, but I mean, the D-backs did beat the Rockies in the
right,
in the wild
that,
card game.
All that voting was done before the playoffs.
Okay.
All the MLB voting for awards is all done and turned in before the playoffs. So, I mean, the playoffs have no bearing on, you know, who wins or who loses. And, you know, I'm not taking away anything away from the guys that got there, the guys that, you know, are in the discussion. My whole point is you can't have a double standard here. You know, you can't penalize Nolan for putting up monster numbers on a bad team the last 2 years. And then all of a sudden now, because Joey Votto has done it, because, you know, and there's arguments to be made that Joey Votto plays in a hitter's park.
Oh, my God, he does.
I mean, it's
the greatest of American ballparks.
Exactly. It's just you can't I don't think you can have a double standard here. And I think it's a joke. And I think the baseball writers of America Association, I think they're a joke. Because you're going to penalize Nolan and Charlie for being on the same team and both putting up monster years and, you know, playing in Coors Field, but you're not going to give credit where credit's due, where, you know, Kyle Freeland and Germán Márquez just absolutely need to be in the rookie of the year discussion because of the fact that they pitch in Coors Field and they had elevated ERAs. Get out of here. So that's my rant. Man. I'm good. We're
all
good
right.
Now.
Fair so, enough.
We got
enough.
Five games.
Five games today, so maybe we get a little more in depth with them, not, you know, not go as quick on them, but again, should not be a long podcast overall, so we will get right into it. We've got the New York Knicks coming off a very impressive comeback win. Actually, their very impressive second consecutive comeback win in as many games. They'll be at Orlando tonight. Magic 5.5-point favorites in this one. Total starting at 213 has since gone up to 216.5. Knicks 4-3 straight up against the spread versus the Magic in their last seven meetings. For the Knicks, they are on the back end of a back-to-back. As I just mentioned, they played the Hornets yesterday at home. It's also their third game in 4 days and their fourth game in 6 days. Only injury news for this one on the Knicks: Joakim Noah is still out with a suspension. For the Magic, they do have 2 full days of rest coming into tonight's game. Injury news for this one: Elfrid Payton going to be a game time decision. He did not go through shoot around this morning. Still working with that hamstring injury. Will test it out before the game. So, as I said, game time decision. But also DJ Augustine still out with a hamstring issue as well. All right, let's start with the Knicks here. Kristaps Porzingis been on a tear. Fell below salary-based expectations last night, but I will see. Hornets, especially Dwight Howard, scumbag of the week goes to this guy. Like, literally just pushing Porzingis down to the ground. I don't know how you know, he wasn't getting these called. Like, it was crazy. Like, I don't know if you saw the game last night, but Howard was just literally like a lineman, just pushing him down to the ground. No calls made. But Porzingis did end up hitting the three that ultimately gave the Knicks the lead and the win. So
does it seem like the refs in the East are allowing players to play more physical, and then in the West, like, they're calling ticky-tack?
I don't know. It's a good point. It's something I would have to look into more.
This is
but
3 days in a row, and I mean, I know Golden State's on it, but this is 3 days in a row where I've watched a player get an offensive flagrant. Last night was the third day. Like, Melo got a flagrant two or three nights ago.
Right.
Then 2 nights ago, Curry got a flagrant one. And then last night, Westbrook got a flagrant one on the offensive end. So, I mean, you can't blame – I mean, I guess you can. You can call it dirty, whatever. But
old West Coast guys, by the way.
Yeah, but if, you know, Howard's going to get away with it and they're not going to call it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, on the Knicks, who else do you got to worry about other than Kristaps Porzingis and Tim Hardaway Jr.? I mean,
right.
I'm sorry. So well, if I'm going to – if they're going to allow me to knock the freaking, you know, tree over and not going to call it, then I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was bizarre. Now, I don't think, besides Bismack Biyombo, I don't think anybody's really going to be knocking Porzingis all over the place on that front line. But I did hear an interview. I heard it this morning, but they interviewed him after last night's game. And he's, you know, they were talking about it. And he's like, I'm really tired. Like, I'm beaten down right now. Not a great sign since we're about, I don't know, what, an eighth of the way done with the NBA season only so far.
Who said this?
Porzingis did. This was last night after the game.
Jesus.
So it's certainly interesting. I remember you weren't too big on him last night at that price tag, which is still the same for him. $9,500 on DraftKings, $9,800 on FanDuel. Again, he fell below salary-based expectations. Wasn't a terrible night by any stretch, but again, we need 50 out of him at that price point. I guess if we're going to attack Orlando, we should do it down low. So, unfortunately, that does mean Porzingis, but a guy like Enes Kanter can even come into the mix. I'm a little interested tonight if Porzingis doesn't play, if this could be our first Willie Hernan Gomez sighting of the year.
It could be.
Making it even more difficult. I don't know if they're going to just outright sit Porzingis, but I can definitely see them lightening his workload tonight.
Does this become a Kylo Quinn / Enes Kanter game?
Very well could. I mean, Quinn's been playing unbelievably this season.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, when you pop off 32 FanDuel points in 17 minutes against Charlotte and Dwight Howard, I mean, I could see some extended run for both of these guys, you know, barring foul trouble. I mean, I could see Willie or Guillermo Hernan Gomez getting in the mix, you know, unless we get word that he's – and I don't think we're going to, but unless we get word that, you know, he's going to get extended run, I don't think we can go there either. I mean – for me, I'd be more apt to play, you know, to go with a Kylo Quinn on tonight's slate, especially considering the news that we got earlier, as we were just on the podcast
right.
just started. I think that's a nice pivot in tournaments on a 5-game slate. Now the question is, do they call up Mindaugas Kuzminskas from the G League?
I don't think so. I think they got enough guys to get it done tonight. You know, if not Hardaway, you got Courtney Lee. Of course, Frank Ntilikina been playing some more minutes here of late. Doug McDermott had a fantastic game last night. Lance Thomas also played well. That second unit for the Knicks actually led that comeback for them last night because they kind of seemed a little dead in the water coming out of the second half. And, you know, that second unit, just O'Quinn, McDermott, Ntilikina, all these guys were just clicking on all cylinders. So I'd be interested to see if they bring that same intensity tonight, especially if the Knicks come out, you know, really sluggish. And you can certainly see that with their scheduling situation. Remember, fourth game, 6 days, 3-4, back in, back to back. Not the place that you want to be in for sure. So, yeah, we'll certainly be talking about that throughout the day, but let's move over to Orlando side of things. Again, one thing I noticed last night, man, Knicks really, really lazy getting out to the perimeter last night. So if that's going to be the case once again, which it very well could be on back end and back to back, Evan Fournier, Terrence Ross, step right up, please.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Terrence Ross and Evan Fournier,
yep.
Especially if Payton's out. You know, we can just keep going. And Okay, with Elfrid Payton out, and I think I know what FanDuel's done is, he obviously popped off an 11 against Boston. I do not read into that. We've long talked about Boston being the best defensive team in the NBA right now, which means that we'll lead to a hot take here in a little bit. But
Okay.
I mean, other than that, the guy has really, really kind of performed this year. I think against a bad defensive team in the Knicks, I think we could see him pop back up to that 35 to 38 mark. If Peyton's out, and if Peyton is out at 6,100 on FanDuel, I think that Fournier is going to be chalk.
Yeah.
So, I like the Terrence Ross call, the pivot. I think he's going to be still high owned. I don't think he's going to be as highly owned as Pate or as Fournier, but it's they're both good plays in my opinion because they can both shoot from outside.
Indeed. So, looking at the matchups from last season, Elfrid Payton actually had the two highest fantasy point totals of any Magic player against the Knicks last season. And the Knicks are also allowing the fifth most fantasy points per game to opposing point guards this season. So, again, that's where all my interest is, because you look down low, and this is very shocking, but especially with Enes Kanter playing there at center, Knicks allowing the third fewest fantasy points per game to opposing centers, and then the second fewest fantasy points per game to opposing power forwards. Now, again, that's where Nikola Vucevic, Aaron Gordon lie at, but I think there are enough plays on this slate that we don't necessarily have to force those guys in.
Yeah, I agree.
Again, if Porzingis is out of the lineup, I think that certainly changes things a little bit. But again, we'll get to that point when we do. Last guy I wanted to mention, kind of not really a helping hand lately, but Jonathan Simmons has failed to post 20 fantasy points in each of his last three games. Keep that in mind. All right, all good on this one?
Yeah, I mean, the only question I have is can we go back to the Tim Hardaway Jr. train? I mean,
I think
he
so.
didn't break 30 last night, but I mean, you're still talking 32 to 35 minutes at $6,000 on a slate where, I'm pretty much going to be trying to attack as best as I can with 3.5 team or 4.5 teams. I'm a little torn on him because Courtney Lee has been handling the ball a little bit more, and where I don't think Courtney Lee is viable as far as a play. I think he's definitely cutting into the production of guys like Ntilikina and Tim Hardaway Jr. and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, Tim Hardaway was interesting last night. So he goes. Now, keep in mind, coming into last night's game, Hardaway. I was watching this game most of the night last night, so I got this is why all the good nuggets are here. But Hardaway Jr. actually was an 82% free throw shooter going into last night, and he struggled mightily from the free throw line. I think he went 4 for 8, if I'm not mistaken. But he hits those 4 free throws, then he hits his 5x value. But missing those free throws definitely kept him from that actual mark. So. Keep that in mind. All right, let's get to the next game here. Very interesting one. Indiana Pacers at the Detroit Pistons. Pistons 7-point favorites in this one. Total of 211.5 has since dropped 2.5 points to 209. For Indiana, they are on the back end of a back-to-back. They were at home against the Pelicans yesterday. This is also their third game in 4 days and their fourth game in 6 days as well. Just came out a while ago. Domantas Sabonis out with the calf injury. Glenn Robinson III still out with the ankle injury. For the Pistons, they've had 3 full days off before tonight's game, so they should be well to go. But a couple of their main pieces will not be able to go. That's Stanley Johnson with the hip injury. John Luer out with the ankle injury. I really don't have much interest in the Pacers, so we'll get to them second. We could start with the. We get to the Pistons first of all. So I actually I saw an article. It's amazing what happens when you wake up early. You get a lot of stuff done. But I was reading an
Yeah, you
article
should try
that.
it more often.
I know. Well, I go to bed so damn late. I didn't go to bed early last night. I'm just working on not a lot of sleep. But they were talking to Detroit Bad Boys blog, another SB Nation one there, good reads a lot of the time, and they were talking about how the Pistons have kind of got away from the pick and roll offense a little bit here over the last couple games, but Indiana is allowing just under a point per possession on the pick and roll this season. So again, it's a big staple of Detroit's offense, which they've gotten away from lately. So they were talking about, you know, perhaps maybe getting back to that a lot more. So that would certainly mean great things for Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson. Both of these guys, actually, Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond combined to have the four highest fantasy point totals of any Pistons player against the Pacers last season. So I think they're viable, but I know you don't like to predict blowouts, but with the Pistons on such a huge rest and the Pacers in a very tough scheduling situation, you know, I don't know if we're going to temper expectations or what, but certainly something to consider.
Yeah, I mean, it's if they're going to make a key what's the word I'm looking for? If they're going to make a
adjustment?
No, if they're going to make sure, I can't even think about it. If the Pistons are going to make sure that they pay more attention to the pick and roll, I have interest in maybe pairing up Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond again.
Sure,
the reason why we haven't talked about that so much this year is because of the fact that they haven't ran it as much as they have in years past. I just don't know if I like it because Andre Drummond is the most expensive or is the second most expensive center on FanDuel today. He's $9,400. He's going to get Miles Turner. I definitely want Miles Turner. If you go apples to apples, I think Miles Turner can outscore in fantasy points Andre Drummond.
Gotcha.
I think out of the – if you go Towns, Drummond, Whiteside, Vooch, and Turner, I think other than like maybe Whiteside and Towns, Turner can actually be right there at the top of that. Dollar per point – profit margin, whatever you want to freaking call it. I think other than maybe a Kyle O'Quinn or an Enes Kanter. No, I think other than maybe a Kyle O'Quinn, Miles Turner is my favorite center on the board.
Interesting. Okay. He is not mine. My favorite center is a very hot matchup tonight, but you know, we'll get there. But yeah, I mean, obviously this could mean good things for Drummond, Reggie, like we just talked about. I don't mind Tobias Harris again with Stanley Johnson, John Luehr out of the lineup. This should mean a healthy dose of minutes for Tobias no matter what.
Tobias Harris has been the most consistent player on the freaking Pistons. Now, he hasn't been great. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's had one good game against the Timberwolves. He had a pretty good game against the Kings. He had a pretty good game against the Hornets and the Knicks. But as far as, like, just in an NBA sense, Tobias Harris is probably the MVP of this Pistons team right now.
Really?
Like, he's the most consistent player on the Pistons.
I thought Andre Drummond's free throws were the MVP of the Pistons.
No, that's just a much-needed improvement waiting to happen.
Right.
And in his defense, he has improved – I'll have to go back and double check, but I want to say he has improved every year since coming in the league on free throws.
All right,
over the last three or four. So I could be wrong, but
let's see.
But I mean,
well, he's shooting 75% this season from the line. He's 30-for-40, so that's amazing. Like he couldn't do that, you know.
That's like 100% for Andre Drummond.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. So, all right, his first season, 37, 42 the next season. Then this comes down a little bit. So 39%, 35.5, 38. He's made the massive jump to 75 this year. But, again, this is something we were talking about in the preseason. You know, a lot of the Pistons people were saying it before the season, hey, watch out for Drummond's free throws this year. And I think in the preseason, I believe he was like 14-for-16 or something along those lines. So, you know, this is something that we got to watch going forward. It's certainly, you know, one of the big things with Drummond in the past is that, you know, his fantasy upside would get capped because the Pistons wouldn't have him in there for, what, the final 6 to 9 minutes of a game just because the opposite team would employ the hack-a-drumming method. And then, hey, you know, if you're not on the court, you ain't scoring fantasy points. So,
yep. You know, it's, very, you know, it's one of those things. One of those things that I got a notification and I was wanting to know if it was NBA or NFL and I had to look up real quick.
Gotcha.
It's one of those things like everybody's like, oh, this guy sucks. Like, dude, let the guy improve. Let's see here. Andre Drummond, whose nickname is Big Penguin, by the way. We're going to start calling that. He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
He's 24 years old, and he's been in the NBA, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons?
Oh, no. Sorry, 6.
Let the guy play.
This is interesting, just looking at his numbers here. So the last four, what is this? 1, 2, 3, yeah, last 4 seasons, he's played at least 81 games. Crazy.
Yeah, and I think there was... I think one of those years, either it was either last year or 2 years ago, he got suspended for a game because he hit somebody and it was like a flagrant two, and I forgot, but I seem to remember there was a game or a season where he got suspended for a game. That's the only reason why he didn't, you know, play 82.
Gotcha.
But yeah, dude, I mean. Let the dude play. Just because a guy sucks at something doesn't mean he can't get better.
I mean, he is a professional basketball player.
So. Yeah, he's more talented than – he's got more talent coming out of his pores than me and you do coming out of our whole body.
Well, speak for yourself.
At least on the basketball court.
with that injury news to John Luehr and Stanley Johnson, do you have any interest in some of these ancillary pieces from the Pistons?
Say ancillary again.
Ancillary.
well, Anthony Tolliver's been getting some run, but it's not anything worth kind of taking a chance on. I understand he's $3,000 and he doesn't look pretty.
Sure are pretty.
But, you know, it's mainly in spell time. Okay. I mean... Reggie Bullock's out of the question. He played 20 minutes yesterday, put up one fantasy point. I mean, these guys aren't. Yeah. They keep a tight rotation. You know who's going to be out there on the court. You know who's going to play. And as long as they're not in foul trouble, they're going to come out for a breather, and that's about it. The Pistons have like a 7-man rotation, 8-man at times as well. It's just kind of one of those things. You know where your production is going to come from, and they're going to live or die with it.
Indeed. And again, 3 full days off before tonight's game. So that could mean, you know, Van Gundy just wants to keep him fresh and everything. So.
Yeah. I mean, as long as, like I said, as long as, you know, stripper hands don't play themselves into a part of it, then, you know, these guys are going to be on the court.
All right, so we labeled not a great situation for the Pacers, but any places that I know you talked about Miles Turner a little bit, but anybody else that could draw some interest?
I know Thaddeus Young was a big disappointment last night as far as what his salary is and the minutes he played and the production he put up, but I'm willing to go back to him again since Sabonis is out.
Yeah, he did play 38 minutes, 13 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, good for 28.2 on FanDuel. I mean, that's pretty much that's his territory right there.
Right, but like I said, for what his price was, he was a disappointment.
Sure.
And I know his price didn't adjust, but you know, now we're not looking at we've got half the games that we got to deal with. I want to throw a big shout out here to Mr. Bojan Bogdanovic.
Hi-o.
You put up 18 points in the first quarter. FanDuel points. 18. And then you put up 3 the rest of the game.
He's doing the old Marcin Gortat.
I mean, did did you go to McDonald's? Did you go to Starbucks and just get the non-decaf skim milk, non-fat mocha latte, or, you know, whatever it is? I mean,
keep on the menu.
Geez. That set up perfect. I was just going, dollar bills, y'all, counting dollar bills, y'all. And in the first quarter, I was like, I just pegged this perfectly on how it was. And then.
It's okay. I mean, he's a former Net. We've been disappointed before.
Lance Stephenson?
He did have a huge night, and with Oladipo in foul trouble last night, that's where Stephenson came to the rest. Yeah, Oladipo got, I believe, a couple quick fouls, and then Lance came in with his cape and whatnot blowing in everybody's ear hole. So, yeah, that happened. But, again, I got to see I didn't really look into Oladipo's line last night. I just knew everybody in Slack was pretty pissed at him, understandably. But he only played 28 minutes last night, ended up getting 24.3 on FanDuel. So, understandable. I mean, you know, again, if anybody's he's not well-rested, but, again, he only played 28 compared to most of the starters out there that played around, like, 35, 38 minutes around that range. So, I guess he could be interesting. Although, he probably will be dealing with the Avery Bradley defensive experience, which not one of my favorite experiences.
Yeah, I'm not going to the Victor Oladipo thing again. I mean, I get the reasoning behind it, but it's just because it's Avery Bradley. If this was like another matchup, then I say, okay, you know, go back to Oladipo in a good bounce back spot and let's go. But not going to do that with seeing Avery Bradley, because you're not going to waste Avery Bradley on Darren Collison. I'm sorry.
Sure. I don't know. I guess I could maybe go back to Bojan again. I kind of got away from it early on this season, but you know me, I've had this theory about teams on the back end of back to backs just settling for jump shots like all the freaking time. Like, and you
but
know,
Bogey shoots jump shots anyways.
That's true though. So again, he's right in his element right here. So I guess we could see a lot of shot attempts from Bogdanovic tonight. He's going to avoid I would assume he's going to avoid Bradley for most of this game, if not all of it. Not going to have Stanley Johnson on him. So, you know, I really don't mind that at all. But that's about it. And then I guess you could take another chance with Lance Stephenson if, you know, the Pacers are getting their hole blown out and he's got to step in and play some minutes.
Yep.
All right. All right, let's get to one of the NBA's favorite rivalries. We've got the Los Angeles Lakers at the Boston Celtics. Celtics 10.5-point favorites here with the total at 210. Boston 3-1 straight up against the Lakers in their last four meetings. However, they have only covered once in that time span. Three of the last four Celtics-Lakers games have gone under the total as well. For the Lakers, they're on the front end of a back-to-back. They will be in Washington tomorrow, but they did have two full days off before tonight's game. Here traveling to the East Coast, Larry Nance and Andrew Bogut both out for tonight's game with of the Lakers. For the Celtics, it is their third game in 4 days, their fourth game in 6 days as well. But, you know, again, they did have the night off before tonight. Late breaking news to the DFS Army Information Network. Al Horford going to miss tonight's game with a concussion. So that's certainly interesting. Let's begin with that. Where's the goodness coming from with the Horford injury?
A lot of people think it's going to be Aaron Baines. I happen to think otherwise.
Okay.
And can I get the hot take music, please? Thank you very much. Yep. Jason Tatum. This is where you're going to want to attack, because now he's going to play more minutes. He's going to be down low with the likes of Kuzma, Julius Randle, Brooke Lopez. And if you don't think that he can't cover Brooke Lopez, you haven't watched Jason Tatum actually play.
Dookies do work.
They do. So that's kind of where I'm going with that one. Now, does it bump Kyrie's usage up a little bit? Yes, but this is going to be an interesting thing to watch. We have not seen Kyrie be the quote-unquote Russell Westbrook of a team yet this season, or yet in his career, really, since he's actually become a very, very, very good player. The reason I say that is you have to kind of, you know, bump up a little bit of the usage there. You know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, they're all going to get more usage as well. We've seen it for spurts, but not for an entire game. You know, Marcus Morris is going to come back. He's going to play only about 23 minutes. You know, he's still going to be able to put up about a fantasy point a minute. He's still cheap. I think he is viable tonight against the Lakers as salary savers in tournaments. Why? Because Marcus Morris could go out there and strain a hammy, and since he hasn't played all season. Well, I mean, he's played a couple games, but you know what I mean. I don't know. It's just I'm not so apt to think that, you know, Aaron Baines is the stone, just like Quincy Acey last night. He's not the stone cold lock of the night.
Right.
Because of this. So.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, it's funny because I like Baines as a player. I think he's done a good job. I remember him doing some nice work for the Pistons in the amount of time that he got. It's funny because we were just talking about how Andre Drummond, like, never missed any games, but, you know, he missed down the stretch of games, and Baines would come in and do pretty well. But, again, he's not a fantasy point extraordinaire or anything like that. I mean, yeah, sure, this is the Lakers. Not a bad idea to attack that team with centers. But, again, there's just so much offense on this Celtics team that, you know, they're not going to be dumping the ball down low to Baines by any stretch of the imagination. But it does create some interesting, you know, opportunities for the rest of the team. Of course, you mentioned Jason Tatum. I really like that play a lot. You know, Marcus Morris just coming back from the injury. I know they're not going to extend him too much, probably somewhere in that, I believe, like 20-minute range. I know he played one game, and then they rested him on the back end of a back-to-back that night in Atlanta. So let's see. I'm sorry. Morris, I'm sorry. He played two games. I forgot
he was
back.
That was the other Morris.
I forgot he was back for the OKC game, but again, I'm not expecting a ton of run here from Marcus.
I would think about around the 22, 23 minute mark. I think he played 15 minutes the other night. And there was the Celtics beat writer yesterday was talking about how he would be good for about 22 minutes, if needed.
Okay.
They
did 17 in his first game back, 23 in the second back. So
yeah. So, he's probably going to be playing around that 23-minute mark. I really like what I've seen out of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you know, this season so far. Another guy that people are going to, you know, kind of gravitate towards maybe is Daniel Tyus. I'm not quite sure on how you pronounce that name, but it is there.
I know it's not Theus.
Yeah,
I know it's what it's not. So
yeah, and then I think those are your main guys. If you hold a gun to my head, it's going to be Jason Tatum.
Okay, I'm just looking at the usage monster here on BasketballMonster.com. Fantastic site, by the way. They have with Horford off the court. They have Kyrie Irving's usage at 31.1%. You got Marcus Morris in his 16.4 minutes without Horford at a 27.5%. And then you got Marcus Smart at a 26.8% usage rate. So that's pretty interesting. Tatum down there, 21.1%. Rozier, 21.6%. And the most interesting one, though, of course, my favorite, the Dancing Bear, Gershon Yabusele. All the way up to 34.4% usage rate with Horford off the floor. But, again, I'm not exactly sure how many minutes we're going to see out of Yabusele. If anything, it would be like mop-up duty. Trying to get a look at his game log here real quick and see. But, again, I love the guy in the preseason, but I just don't think they're – nah, he hasn't seen more than 6 minutes in any game this season. So
yeah, and don't sleep on Marcus Smart either. I mean, I get it. I understand the hesitation, I guess, is what is the word I'm looking for.
Sure.
But I mean, he's under 6,000. He's gonna play 32 minutes or so. I mean, I think he's viable.
Yeah, certainly.
He's not gonna be a sexy play, but I think he does have the ability to kind of pop out there.
Was your hot take the Jason Tatum?
Nope.
Play? Oh, so it's still,
That was one of them, yes.
so it still remains in this game,
The
though, right?
double hot take still remains in this game. I'm fading Lakers.
Fading Lakers.
I am fading
How hot is
Lakers.
that? Is that like a?
On a 5-game slate.
That's like
On
a.
the on a 5-game slate when it's they are the
It's a lukewarm take.
well, they're the fourth highest. It's no,
That's a
that's the
bowl. That's a bowl of soup sitting in the microwave for an extra 2 minutes. Take.
All right, whatever.
No, I mean it's. I mean it's not bad. I guess it's hot to those folks that haven't been paying attention to how good the Celtics defense is,
That's
because
exactly the point.
it's interesting. If you look at it, I know I haven't looked too much at the defensive efficiency numbers yet this season, but I do know that they're allowing what the second or third fewest fantasy points per game. So I mean the two go hand in hand. Did you? I heard on Undisputed, so I don't know if this is 100% for sure. And since I heard it on that show, but Kyrie is that actually has the sixth highest defensive efficiency rating in the NBA thus far this season.
It would not shock me.
If that's true, yeah. I mean, Skip Bayless said it, so you know, who knows?
Well, whatever Skip Bayless says, then we should just automatically take that and
Put it
consider
on
it
the board.
consider it gospel. He's a sorry excuse for an Oklahoman.
So that is yeah, that's certainly pretty interesting. I've heard some possibly some Brolo love from the people in the Slack chat channel already, and
Not
you
going
know,
up against half his time against Marcus Morris.
sure. And I mean, Baines is a very capable defender as well.
Yes.
So yeah, so just keep all that in mind. Kyle Kuzma, not a Kuzma fan today. You are not.
I like what this Lakers team is doing, but in tournaments where I have to take a stand,
Sure.
To make sure that I try to gain an ed as big of an edge as I possibly can, I'm going to take my stand and I'm going to run with it. And it's I would rather not go against the best defensive team, not only on the slate, but in the NBA right now.
Sure.
So, I mean, they just don't have anybody that's matchup proof. Like it's a different situation when you're taking Ben Simmons last night against Utah than it is against taking, Lonzo Ball or
I just like how you said his name. Lonzo Ball.
Well, I'm sorry, but the guy's shooting like 22% from the field. I think I can
Yeah.
shoot better than 22% from the field.
Guy's got a lot on his mind tonight, anyway.
Oh my God, I mean, his brother could be deported to China and executed.
If you're gonna steal in any continent, Asia is definitely not the one to do it in. Let me tell you.
Asia and the Middle East.
Yeah, they cut your damn hands off in the Middle East. In Asia, you ain't seen your family for like ever. But they, I talked about it earlier in the Slack chat channel today. We're like, did you ever seen that movie Brokedown Palace? I mean, apparently that was in Thailand, but I do think the same rules apply in the whole continent. So
Yeah, I mean, this is
that
something
now
that
that's a hot take right there,
you
but.
think the Chinese government cares a damn about what Big Baller Brand really wants?
Oh no, they're probably gonna add 2 years onto whatever the original sentence was just because of that.
Yeah. And this is a country that does not take it lightly,
Hell
especially if
no.
you're out of, if you're, out of state or out of state. If you're like a foreigner
Oh yeah.
trying to do this, like you're talking about passports revoked. I mean,
Whippings.
And how does – see, here's my question. Was UCLA in China playing like the Chinese national team or something?
I don't know. Georgia Tech was over there as well. So they might have been like scrimmaging.
Maybe
or...
they're – because they're playing against Georgia Tech tomorrow night.
Okay. So that – yeah.
Maybe they're right, playing I, over there.
Yeah. That could be.
Like, I just –
folks, if you learn anything from today's podcast, do not steal in Asia.
Yeah,
just
no
don't
kidding.
Do it.
If that's
don't
the only it. Thing you take out of this podcast.
Anywho, back to the roundabout. But Kyle Kuzma, and you know, for most of these Lakers, it's interesting because we don't know exactly who's going to be matched up against who. We just know that it's going to be really bad matchups for the Lakers across the board.
Yeah, it's not ending pretty. So.
Okay. Any other further discussion on this topic or this game will be discussed in the Slack chat channel since it was such a hot take. All right. Let's get to the fourth game of the evening. In my opinion, the hottest matchup in basketball. It's the Miami Heat at the Phoenix Suns. Heat 4.5-point favorites here on the road. We got a total of 217.5 in this one. Heat are 3-1 straight up and against the spread versus the Suns in their last four meetings. Three of the last four Suns Heat games have gone under the total. Now for Miami, this is their third game in 4 days. It's also their fourth game in 6 days, and it's also the fourth game of a 10-day road trip that they're currently on. So keep all that in mind. Rodney Magruder, only significant injury for the Heat. He'll be out with the leg injury. Deion Waiters missed the last couple games due to paternity leave. He's listed as being a starter in the game notes tonight, so should be good to go. And then for Phoenix, this is their third game in 4 days, also their fourth game in 6 days. Alan Williams out with the knee injury still for Phoenix. And then, of course, Greg Monroe. Buyout candidate, still not even ready to play yet, but you know, keep all that in mind. My hot take of the day from the hottest game of the day definitely is that Hassan Whiteside, biggest raw score tonight on the slate.
If he makes it through the game,
he'll be fine. Don't worry about him.
Evidently, him and Alex Lynn have a history.
Well, I just saw it, but whatever. It's fine. Last season, okay?
We don't try to predict the ejections either.
This is interesting, right? So last season, the Miami centers did a fantastic job against the Phoenix Suns. Now, Willie Reed actually started that first game that the Heat were in Phoenix. All he did was post 22 points, 18 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 2 blocks in that game. That was good enough for 54.5 on DraftKings, 51.6 on FanDuel.
Who's this, and then, Whiteside?
No, that was Willie Reed.
Oh, okay.
And then the second matchup, that's where Hassan Whiteside was back for that one. He goes 23 points, 14 rebounds, also has 3 steals, 2 blocks in that game, good for 52.5 on DK, 49.3 on FanDuel. I guess the main point in my story here is that Heat centers just absolutely abused the Phoenix Suns last season. I see it happening again. Whiteside actually got benched in that last game against the Golden State Warriors. He wasn't hurting or anything. Spoelstra just saw enough out of him. I think he comes back with lots of a vengeance tonight and just crushes the Suns in the palm of his hand.
You would think, right? I mean... You would think that that's kind of what they want to do.
Well, you know, GPP mindset, you know, people are probably going to feel safer with Andre Drummond tonight, but I want all the monies.
Yeah, I don't think that you're getting sneaky with Hassan Whiteside if that's what you're hoping.
I think slight sneakiness, not full, you know, not like Trojan horse sneaky, but, you know, they'll see us coming through the gates.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Fair enough.
Just because, I mean, you sit there and you look at it. I mean, there's 5 games. Okay, you've got Andre Drummond. Yeah, he's going to garner some ownership. You got Miles Turner, who's, in my opinion, underpriced in this matchup. He's going to probably garner some ownership. And you got Hassan Whiteside in the freaking highest total of the game. or the second highest total of the night. I mean, I don't think it's being sneaky. I could be wrong. It's still early, but you know, it's just kind of one of those things. Like, yeah, do you really, 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 really want to take your chance on fading Hassan Whiteside? I don't know if you have to. Like, I really love Hassan Whiteside tonight. Like, it's one of the first things that popped off the page. I don't know how much profit potential is there. I understand where, like, I get it. I like it. I will have some.
He gonna have some. He gonna do one.
But I don't think you have to have him.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, enough. I mean, and it's just, I don't think you have to have Andre Drummond or Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, I think they're all viable. I think they're all good plays. I think Vooch is a good play. I think Turner's a good play. I think Kanter possibly. Like, center is, for a five-game slate, center is actually kind of deep tonight. So I just don't know if I want to do that.
Okay. Goran Dragic taking on his former Phoenix Suns team. He's fared pretty well in the past. You know, he's hit 6-7x in three of his four matchups against his former mates. So the only time that he didn't is when he only got 28 minutes in a game. All the other times he scored at least 22 real points. I mean, you know, Phoenix is allowing the most fantasy points per game to opposing backcourts this season. As I wrote it down in my notes, I said what I just said about most fantasy points per game to opposing backcourts. And then I literally the most points to point guards and shooting guards. So again, this should be fantastic. Phoenix also allowing second most fantasy points overall this season. A lot of assists are available for Goran Dragic. So it's not even Dragic. It's Dragic, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, well rested.
I'm done with Tyler Johnson for a while.
No, you know, we gotta let everybody know, you know, when we're playing Tyler Johnson, because I'm 0-4 with TJ this season.
Four?
Yeah.
Only four? I'm like 0-12, and he's only played 9 games.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I mean, I've gone to that place, but
I've got a better record.
I remembered how bad it hurt.
I've got a better record picking Tyler Ulis than I do Tyler Johnson.
Wow. Strong.
Like, you ever watched Jumanji?
I have not. And it's not because I hate Robin Williams. I just haven't gotten around to seeing it.
Okay, never mind. You wouldn't get the reference then.
All right.
Anyways, you wouldn't have got it. So I think if Deion Waiters is back, then, you know, I like that. I mean, Dragic, I'll have to look into his numbers going home. I think he's only done it once or twice. And if I remember correctly, it didn't end well, but I could be wrong. I mean, this could be – it's just – Miami does not excite me. So it's weird. For a team going up against the Phoenix Suns, I'm not really in love with a bunch of plays from here. Maybe a Justice Winslow?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't be doing that. He played
30 minutes against Golden State. He was, I don't know. He's
been very ineffective this season.
They told him not to worry about his shot. They told him to go out there and defend.
That's always a great sign. That's what he's been doing. Want my lineup.
Well, I know, but 30 minutes at $3,300 is hard to pass up.
Disappointing now, his father, Carl Winslow, Chicago police officer.
Yeah, well. All right, well, we're at an hour, so we need to get to the next game.
Well, hold on. We didn't talk about any Phoenix Suns.
There's a reason.
Well, people know why.
I'm kidding.
Actually, I didn't even realize Winslow did that well in his last game, but I don't know. Overall, it's been gross.
I don't know what to do with the Suns.
Yeah.
Like, this is a game I can't get a hold on. Like, I wish that we had days where Alan Williams was back. Like, I just want Alan Williams to come back.
Great name.
Just because, like, and I understand he's not coming back this year. He tore his meniscus. I get it. But at least with Alan Williams, we knew exactly where we wanted to go. Yeah, you've got Devin Booker. You got Mike James. But, I mean, they directly eat into each other, because if Devin Booker is going to go off at his price tag of $7,200, that means Mike James isn't going to do a lot.
Mike James only plays well against the Nets. That's it. That's all he does.
Well, I mean, he didn't even do that well against the Nets the last game.
Did fine.
Oh, that's Goran Dragic. Never mind. yeah, but not like he did the first time. I mean, he did better against the Knicks than he did against the Nets. I mean, Mike James is a good cash game value play, $5,300. He's a mid-tier guy. I mean,
he's got beef with the state of New York.
He's got beef with a lot of things, but that's not the point. I mean,
now I will say that it makes sense that you're struggling to find good plays on this team, because you know, you look at every single matchup, and with the exception of center, you know, Miami's basically in the top 10 of allowing the fewest fantasy points to a whole bunch of different positions, to point guards, shooting guards, power forwards, even, I believe, as well. But, you know, TJ Warren has popped up on the domination station a lot today. So, but again, we know TJ Warren's stigma, right? We know he's boom or bust. You get everything that you go for on TJ Warren. I think a lot of people will probably go that route tonight, just feeling like they need some exposure to a game that has a 217 total. I think that total is massively marked up.
The juice is on the under.
I don't think we're going to see anywhere near a total around 217. Just looking at these matchups.
Whoa.
You got that, two tired teams as well. So
that total has dropped.
Yeah, see?
It's 214 and a half now.
Good.
Now
good.
The juice is on the over now for 214 and a half. So you're probably going to see it kind of hover around that 214 and a half, 215 mark.
Got no time for the juice.
But, well, I mean, it is telling a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, that's if you want, and people want to know what I was talking about when I said 4.5 teams, this is what I'm talking about. Like, take off the Lakers, take off the Miami Heat, take off the Phoenix Suns, and go with the Knicks Magic game, the Pacers Pistons game, the two Pacers that I like, and go with the Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors. There's your 4.5 teams.
Severely undervaluing the Miami Heat in this hot matchup. I like them a lot.
Who? Besides
Dragic, Whiteside, Waiters. Boom, boom, boom.
You can't play all three of them in the same lineup, though.
The hell I can't, Keith. Watch me.
You're going to do it, and you're going to lose. I'm telling you.
Let's see. This is the Phoenix Suns we're talking about here.
Here's what you do. You pair Whiteside and Waiters, or Dragic and Waiters. You don't play all three. And I would play Waiters for baby narrative. Maybe. At 6K?
He's probably, like, so sick of dealing with that stuff. He's like, oh, basketball, thank God, finally.
Oh, no kidding. And Dion Waiters, he's from Philly, and he's had a rough life. Don't get me wrong. I liked the dude when he was with Oklahoma City. Like, the problem was, is, like, he never really, like, he tried, until he got to Miami, he was always trying to be the guy. Even when we had Russ and Durant, mm-hmm. he was trying to, because we told him, come be the guy off the bench. And he tried to be the guy. And we saw him able to be the guy, but only when Durant went out. Trust me, he was in my WFBBC fourth place lineup.
Hi-o. I thought you came in third.
Fourth.
Damn you. I want to, before we get to that last game of the night, something pretty interesting here. So the spread, the spread on the Lakers-Celtics game, actually it began at 10.5 and it's jumped all the way down to 7. So that's definitely because of the Al Horford news. So Vegas is placing that much of an emphasis on Al Horford. Maybe
it's gone down. And since we started the pod, it's gone down 1.5.
Nah, I mean, just looking at it.
I know, but because it was when I wrote down all the Vegas lines this morning to upload into the DS, it was offline.
Wow.
And so we started the pod and I wrote it down and it was 8.5 for Boston and now it's 7.
Interesting. So Vegas, obviously the smartest people besides you and I on the face of the earth. But again, they're placing that much emphasis on Horford being out. I could see maybe a little more Brolo love. I could see it. But, again, we'll talk about that later on throughout the day. Let's get to the last game here. Timberwolves at the Golden State Warriors. Warriors, 11-point favorites here, total of 232 in this game. Actually, let's look at the matchup because this is pretty interesting. So, Golden State, 5-2 straight up against the Timberwolves in their last 7 meetings. Keep in mind, different team. However, the Timberwolves that were there did a pretty good job. Golden State only covering two times in these 7 meetings here against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Interesting note here on the Timberwolves as well, which buys into the close game narrative. Timberwolves, 13 games over 500 against the spread in their last 39 road games versus teams with a winning record. They do not lay down easily, folks. Good situation, which I brought up earlier in the Slack chat channel that I want to talk about here. So the Timberwolves tonight, they've had 2 full days off coming into tonight's game, and then they've got 2 full days off before their next game. So a lot of the guys already play a ton of minutes, should be going full throttle tonight. For the Warriors, they have 2 full days off before their next game as well. So we should see plenty of minutes from the starters tonight. All that combined with, you know, a high total, the highest of the night, in fact, I think we're probably going to see an awesome game in this one. So engage game stack. Let it rip, folks.
Yeah, and if you're worried about fading Kevin Durant because of Jimmy Butler defense, let me just let you know what he's posted. The 2 meetings that they had, I don't think they faced each other last year. I think Jimmy Butler was out for both the games against the Warriors. He has posted a 48.7 and a 52.3 back in the 2015 season when he was still with Oklahoma City. His low mark is at 36.3. That was back in 2012. Other than that, he has not posted anything less than a 47.
Oh my. Okay.
So
My beef with Durant is more currently what he's doing. I mean, like, you know, he's just, you know, a lot of these point totals that he's putting up, it's not the greatest point per dollar. You know, like, there's a couple games where he's not even reaching 50. He's coming close to it, but not quite getting there.
Yeah, but on a 5-game slate, you have to pay – you can't pay as much attention to it.
No, you can't. And again, Durant against Minnesota, he faced him twice last season. He had one really good performance against them, and then another one that was so-so. Didn't reach 40 on either site in that second meeting. But this is a spot where I want to attack it all over the board. The one thing I want to say, though, my favorite matchups here in this game actually lie with the backcourt of Golden State. Little Curry and Klay Thompson in this matchup. So Curry last season against Minnesota averaged 47 DraftKings points, 43 FanDuel points. Minnesota, by the way, allowing the 4th most fantasy points per game to opposing point guards this season. And then Klay Thompson had a field day against the Wolves in all 4 meetings. He averaged 45 on DraftKings, 42 on FanDuel. That's averaged against the Minnesota Timberwolves in 4 games last season. So that's that's where I'm starting my lineup build tonight, is with the Golden State backcourt.
Yeah, and I think you can pair them together. I actually think that you can play all four of them in the same lineup if you really want to. I would not suggest it, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's viable on a five-game slate when you can take out some teams and stuff like that. So. Clay is about as close to a, you know, must lock, you know, play all play that you can find on the slate. I mean, he's 6,900. You just spouted off the numbers. It just, he was more fadeable last year and in years prior, because he wasn't like a lot of his points came from shooting off the catch and shoot. He's actually able to now shoot off the dribble with just as quick of a shot. That's something he worked really hard on over the course of the offseason and stuff, and that's something he's added to his game, and he looks really good doing it. The problem I have is, I wonder if it slowed down the ball movement of the Golden State Warriors a little bit. Just coming from a basketball standpoint, you know, because now instead of the ball moving when it gets into Clay hands, either towards the basket or towards, you know, Draymond down on the post or toward back to, you know, Durant, or, you know, it now has the ability to stop with four guys on the court now instead of only three.
No, so, yeah, it makes sense.
It's just kind of something that's been rolling through my head, but yeah, I don't mind any of them. I mean, if you wanted me to rank them, I would go just by pure upside, what the ability is. It's either got to be Clay or Curry number one, and then whichever one isn't number one, it's number two, and then it's Durant three, but Draymond four.
1A, 1B.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they're all viable. I think you can pair them up in different combinations. I think you can limit them to two. I think you can limit it to three. This is one of those days where you want to, you know, put Clay and Draymond in a lineup, and then Clay and Curry, and then Clay and Durant, and then, you know, make multiple lineups with these guys in, and then throw in three, and then throw in all four, and fade all of them. I don't know. There's multiple ways to kind of go about it, but I think they're all viable.
Fair enough. My intrigue some folks, but my favorite play from the Timberwolves tonight is actually Taj Gibson. Golden State allowing the six most fantasy points to opposing power forwards. But, you know, we talked about this in the Slack chat channel today, but it's basically whoever avoids that Draymond Green assignment. So,
and for the most part of it, for most of the game, it's going to be Taj Gibson.
I don't think so.
No, he's really going to be the one avoiding it.
Oh, yes.
Because
Draymond's
going to be on Karl-Anthony Towns.
Thanks. All right. We miscommunication there. But, yes, that's exactly where I was going. So, again, you have to believe that it's going to be Dre on Karl-Anthony Towns in this game. Again, I mean, look, Golden State's still allowing a lot of fantasy points per game to opposing centers. But, again, with this matchup against Draymond Green, you proceed at your own risk, my friends. This is not one that I want a piece of. But, again, Gibson, just a phenomenal price on both sites, 45 on DK, 46 on FanDuel. That's really where I want to go. I could be intrigued by some Jimmy Butler. We've seen some small forwards do very well against the Golden State Warriors this season. I think that's a very interesting tournament play.
Now, the only thing I'm worried about here is if they throw in Livingston at the three or Iguodala at the three, and move Durant to the four, as far as in concern with Taj Gibson. Because I don't think that Taj can – I don't think that's a good matchup for Taj Gibson. I don't know. I'm thinking through it, and I'm not sure. But I know where you're going with it, and I like it. Because if that's the case, and we get a lot of Jimmy Butler on Andre Iguodala or on Sean Livingston, then I really like Jimmy Butler. Really like Jimmy Butler.
Yep. Could be a good one. One thing I wanted to mention here too, Jamal Crawford's actually had a very good history against the Golden State Warriors, including his last six matchups. Again, first year with the Timberwolves here, but in his last six games against the Warriors, he's averaged here 29.5 DraftKings points, 27.3 on FanDuel. Comes in at a very affordable $3,300 on FanDuel today, as opposed to the $3,900 that he is on DraftKings. So, pretty interesting. That could be a way you can get your Stephen Curry, Kyrie Irving backcourt if you'd like.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, I didn't say you had to hug it and caress it, you know?
Just no, I'm definitely not doing that. Numbers. I'm definitely not doing that. Oh, my God. Well, there goes all that. Kevin Durant's ruled out.
Shut up, really?
I swear.
Oh, man.
Oh, so the last 15 minutes of the podcast are pretty much irrelevant.
Well, even more Curry and Clay now today, so that should be fun. But, yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. All right, that'll do it for us today. If you want to chat with us in the Slack chat channel today, make sure you sign up with the DFS Army, because that's the only way to do so. Go to DFSArmy.com, use the promo code PODCAST, get 20% off each month of that subscription of yours. And that's all I got to say. So, for me, Keith, the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.